The book of Joshua is similar to the book of Ephesians. If you have read the book of Ephesians, you will notice that there are 6 chapters in the book of Ephesians, and they naturally divide themselves into 3 sections, Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2, and Ephesians chapter 3 and 4, and then Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And if you notice that in the book of Ephesians, that the first 2 chapters talk about our position in Christ. The second 2 chapters, chapter 3 and chapter 4, with a little flow over to chapter 5, talks about walking in Him. You find the key word walk. Then, towards the last chapter, especially in chapter 6, you notice that it talks about standing. So you have in the flow in the book of Ephesians, sit, walk, and stand. In the book of Joshua, that we are going to consider, it divides itself into 3 major sections. In chapter 1 to chapter 5, it talks about our position, sitting in Christ. Then from chapter 6, right on to chapter 12, it talks about our walk and our warfare, of course. Then in chapter 13, right to chapter 24, it talks about the dividing of the land, the possession that was given unto them. And that talks about standing upon what God has given to us. Now the land of Canaan has sometimes been used by Christians to represent heaven. Now there is an aspect and an element of that in a parable form, and it's quite poetic. But strictly speaking, Canaan doesn't represent heaven, it represents our possession in Christ now. For one thing, in heaven there are no enemies. Whereas in the land of Canaan, there are enemies, and there's still spiritual warfare going on. So Canaan cannot be representing heaven. It represents our inheritance in Christ. So after 5 chapters of Moses, from Genesis to Deuteronomy, we see, are now moving into the promised land, the land of Canaan. And we are taught in this book every principle that Ephesians emphasizes on, except in some details. We are taught how to sit, we are taught how to walk, and we are taught how to stand in the conquest of the promised land. Sitting represents our position. Walking represents our vocation and our warfare that we have. Standing implies learning to consolidate that which we have already conquered and possessed. And sometimes we can have the first 2. We learn how to sit, we learn how to walk, but we don't learn how to consolidate. And constantly we lose ground. We got to gain ground again, lose ground, gain ground again. That's not the type of warfare that God wants us to fight. God wants us to continue to grow in Him. As we look at the book of Joshua, to many people's mind, especially to a young Christian and to the average believer, a question lingers in your mind as to how a God of love and compassion can permit a nation to kill those in another nation, to wage warfare in His name. That's a question that is behind a believer's mind, and they want it answered. And tonight we want to focus on this fact, that in Deuteronomy, there are 2 verses that we need to refer to as we move into Joshua as a basis. That gives us two areas we must consider. Number one, it tells us the reason why God sent the nation of Israel into the promised land. It tells us the reason why God sent them out to wipe up all the other nations. That's found in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9. So we need that key verse in Deuteronomy chapter 9. God says to them in verse 1 onwards, "Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified, up to heaven. A people great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you heard. And who can stand before the descendants of Anak? Therefore, understand today that the Lord your God, He who goes over before you, is a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Now here in verse 4, he begins to explain. Do not think in your heart, after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess a land. The Lord says, don't think it's because of your righteousness. But it is because, now notice he says, it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It's very clear cut. So a person who has not read the book of Deuteronomy will still be struggling and wondering why. Well, God has already explained it. Every time you have a question why, read the Bible carefully, it explains itself. See, the Bible tells us that God many times used one nation to judge another nation. It's a pattern in the Bible. And if you remember the prophecy in the book of Genesis 15, when God was revealing himself to Abraham, God said that the nation of that will come from Abraham will be in the land there for some time, and after that they will come out to possess the land that he has shown Abraham. And the Lord says something there. He says, because the iniquity of the Amorites has not come to the full yet. It's an amazing statement. Well, if you like to, you can turn to Genesis 15 very quickly. Genesis 15. By tonight, you definitely would have your Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Genesis 15. And notice he says here in verse 16, in the fourth generation, they shall return here, the promised land that Abraham was, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. In other words, God said, I cannot judge this nation yet. I still have some mercy left for them. That perhaps they may repent. See, here you see the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of compassion. And then he told the Israelites, now don't think that you're strong or you're able, because all these nations are actually bigger than you, stronger than you, mightier than you. But God says there's a difference. It's time for them to be judged because they have done wrong. They have broken God's laws. And just to show that God is no respecter of persons or people, when Israel themselves sin, another nation judged them. When you say that is fair, say God is fair. He is a righteous judge. And he is. See, when the nation of Israel sinned against God that you read about in the Bible, God used the Chaldeans. God used the Syrians. God used the Assyrians. All this to come against them. He is very fair and righteous. No respecter. Says any nation that goes after his law, he promotes. In the book of Proverbs, it says, righteousness exalts a nation. See, God is no respecter of person. And one reason that you see nations like the United States exalted earlier this year, and from the time back, it's been exalted, although now a lot of immorality is coming in. One day they're going to reap that what they sow, but it was a nation founded on God. Although they may have forgotten the God who helped them found the nation, and forgotten the purpose and the goals of their founders. Yet it was a nation founded on God. That's just to let us know, God is no respecter of person. Whether your name ends with Abraham, or Lee, or Tan, or Ramasamy, whatever, it is not because of race that God exalts any nation. It is because of His mercy and His desire to fulfill His promises. He is a lawful God, a righteous judge. That's the first thing we need to take note of. It is the mercy of God that they went in. They were the instrument of God, the instrument of God's judgment upon the other nations. Number two, we need to look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. These are two verses that we need as we start off in the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 22. And the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. Little by little, you will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. That's the second principle. The book of Joshua took a period of over about 20 to 25 years. And towards the end of the book of Joshua, you will notice that them saying there's still a lot of work to be done. Still a lot of conquest to be done. It's because God had already said He wants them to do it one step at a time. Never do you find in the Bible that they run by faith, but you always see they walk by faith. So it's sit, walk, and stand. Because it's a step at a time that God will lead them. Now let's look at the book of Joshua with that background. Clear all doubts from our mind that here is a righteous God leading that nation, not because the nation was more righteous or more mightier, but it's just a part of His chronological working on this planet earth, fulfilling His promises to Abraham. In the book of Joshua, the first section, there are three sections. First section, chapter 1 to 5, teaches us principles of how to sit, how to get into the heavenly places. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, it tells us that God has raised us up to sit in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. For we were dead with Him, and we died with Him, and then we were buried with Him, and we were raised together with Him, and we are now seated together with Him in the heavenly places. And we are taught in the first five chapters of Joshua how to get into that position. Before you can walk, you must sit. Have you ever seen a little baby just born? The first thing, those of us who are parents, we know all the processes, right? Those are the others of you who don't have children yet. Imagine. It's an imagination. But we know how, when a baby is born, the baby cannot even lift up their head yet. It takes some time before their bones are stronger, and then the baby starts turning. And when the baby starts turning, it excites the parents. Then one day, baby learns to sit up. See, baby doesn't just lie down for one whole year. And then after 1 year, baby gets up and starts walking. Where's my milk bottle? Never. Baby learns to sit first. And then they start pulling themselves on the floor that we call crawling. And so these are the processes. Similarly, unless we learn to be in position with Christ, we cannot war the warfare that God wants us to have. A lot of Christians are trying to fight their spiritual warfare when they are not seated in the heavenly places. Sitting in the heavenly places implies a position of authority, spiritual authority. So when we are not seated in the heavenly places, we cannot fight the battle. We must get into position first. Even in natural warfare, position is important.